Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We can say it now.
Wow. 2018.
You write it on your checks. I'm just saying, write it on your checks right now.
Didn't the world end back when we went from 1999 to
2000?
I thought the world ended then. That must have been a rumor. I mean, the toaster was going to stop and the microwave wouldn't work. And remember that?
2018 is just, it's hard to believe. Hard to believe. But, you know, just because 2018 is here doesn't mean that you can stop using Amazon Smile.
Oh, no. You can use that anytime.
Yeah.
If you shop on the internet and you use Amazon, be sure to go to amazon.smile once. That's all you have to do is just once. You don't have to do it every time. And you put in, it's going to ask you what charity you want to get a contribution every time you buy something. Put in Catholic Radio Indy, Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, and that's it. And if you forget about it, if you use that same computer again and next week go on to buy something else from Amazon, it's going to give you a little pop-up that says, whoops, wait a minute, did you mean to contribute to Catholic Radio?
I love that.
So it's that easy.
Mm-hmm. I do love that.
And we get a contribution. And something else that's even easier than that.
I know.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and you do it every single week, or most people do it every single week, talking about the new Kroger Community Rewards Program. And very similar to Amazon, you probably have a Kroger card. If you ever shop at Kroger, you need a Kroger card. You
get all the
bargains, of course. Well, if you go to Kroger.com and look for Community Rewards, they're going to ask you the same question. What charity do you want us to contribute to every time you buy groceries? Type in Catholic Radio Indy.org. One time, that's it. Every time you shop at any Kroger, anywhere, for almost anything, Catholic Radio gets about 0.5% or maybe even close to close to a percent.
Close to a percent. And you know what? It doesn't cost you any more. It doesn't. There's no difference,
not even a nickel.
Actually.
In fact, if you can't remember Kroger.com or to register, go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and click on that logo, the Kroger logo there on our Catholic Radio website, and that will work too. So several really easy ways to donate to Catholic Radio. And, you know, when you think about it, you think, well, I don't use Amazon all that often, or, gee, I only spend X number of dollars at Kroger. But if we all do it,
It all adds up.
It all adds up big time.
It does.
CatholicRadioIndy.org, Amazon.smile, or you can go to Kroger.com directly and do it that way, too. So,
And one more little P.S. We have until the end of January, but we usually have the letters out by about the 20th, 25th, something like that. We are gathering the tax letters together as we speak, and if you made a donation last year to Catholic Radio, anything over $250, I think, we will be sending you a statement and a little love note, and you should be getting that in the next couple weeks. If you don't get one and you think you were missed and you did give a donation over a couple hundred bucks, give us a call here. Patty will be happy to look you up in the computer and send you a statement.
And occasionally we have things that kind of fall through the cracks a little bit, in that we have a threshold that we send everybody a letter that makes a donation above that threshold. And sometimes a family will make that donation, but sometimes maybe it's made in the name of the wife part of the time and the husband part of the time, or maybe for we might have it in as, you know, Mr. T. Jones and Mr. Tom Jones will lend the computer. That's two different things. And so we might not notice that. So if you have and you don't get one of these by early February at the latest, please give us a call. 317-870-8400.
Our guest on Faith in Action today is Ed Isaacson. He is the Human Resource Director for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
You know, this has been a topic that's been in the news, the last several months. not surprisingly so, disappointingly so. But we do want to talk a little bit about sexual harassment, and what a better way to handle it than have someone from the Archdiocese talk about your practices and how you handle it. But before we even get into that, Ed, tell us a little bit about your family, what side of town you live on, what parish you belong to.
Sure. We are blessed with six wonderful children.
Oh, God bless you.
Yes. Our oldest is 20. Mm-hmm. And our youngest is 10. We have four boys and two girls.
Oh, my.
They all go to Catholic school, so we have some significant tuition bills.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
But it's worth every penny.
Oh, sure.
Our oldest goes to Bellarmine University in Louisville.
Oh,
which
wonderful.
Is Archbishop Thompson's alma mater.
Oh, yeah. I know that well. Yeah.
He actually graduated with an accounting degree back in 1983.
You don't see too many bishops with an accounting degree. No. You're right.
But he's studying education. He wants to be a high school math teacher. Then I have two sons at Cardinal Ritter High School.
Oh, sure.
One is a senior and plans on going into engineering, and one is a junior and wants to be a computer scientist. Then I have three wonderful children at St. Monica.
Oh, at St. Monica's. Oh, sure, yeah.
7th grade, 6th grade, and 4th grade.
Oh, you're still in the weeds.
The weeds are very high some days, MJ, I can assure you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm a little bit on the other side. I have grandchildren already.
Congratulations.
I'm so excited. Number three, my daughter's first is due this spring, so this is an exciting time for us grandkids. That's an adventure.
Well, I think a lot of people listening right now are Catholics in the area. You could go to church on Sunday forever and go through, take all the sacraments and everything, and never ever know that there is a Catholic center. It's down at 14th and North Meridian there,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
Kind of across from the cathedral there. And that's where Ed works. And Ed threw out a number just before the program that just blew me away. I was thinking, okay, I've been there lots of times. It used to be the Cathedral High School at one time.
That's right.
And has three floors and lots of offices and things. And when we were looking for someone to talk about this particular topic, your name came up, Ed. And then I got to thinking, well, gee, that's a pretty small organization to have a full-time human relations department. But the Archdiocese is not just that building, I guess.
It's not just that building. And think about it. I mean, it's like an umbrella, right, Ed?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
The Archdiocese consists of 125 parishes and 67 schools that cover 39 counties in central and southern Indiana. So it is a huge organization.
And see, it's kind of like the brains of it.
It's about 6,000 employees.
6,000 employees.
So are all the teachers and all the schools, are they employees of the Archdiocese then?
They're all employees of their parishes and schools, and all those parishes and schools comprise the Archdiocese.
Oh, okay.
So they are hired locally by their pastors and principals, mm-hmm. but all those parishes are part of the whole of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis.
Wow.
So think of it as kind of like the heart or the brain. I mean, think about it. I mean, all kind of goes back down to 1400 North Meridian, right?
Well, most people don't see us as the heart or the brain. They might use another body part describing us some days. We like to think that we are at their service. So we really exist to serve our parishes and schools, to assist them in different ways, to be a resource. Actually, our theme as an organization at the Catholic Center is serving parishes better.
Oh, how wonderful.
How do we do more to serve those who serve others?
Okay, well, this, several months ago, I think the Harvey Weinstein thing came up. And I was, there was this Me Too, that went across Facebook. And I thought that was kind of silly because I thought there probably isn't a female out there who's alive today, who's over 20 years old, who hasn't received some kind of unwanted attention in some way, shape, or form. But you learn to kind of live with it and move on or put up with it or. But it was never right. It was never good. It was never appropriate, right?
Correct.
So let's go back to the basics. First of all, sexual harassment, and that seems like such a harsh term almost, but it's necessary that we have these conversations,
Very necessary. We're bound by many of the same laws that other employers are, and certainly we are regarding this topic of harassment. But even more so, we're a church about promoting human dignity. We want to see the presence of God in every person,
Amen.
Every child, every adult. So it's very much what we're for in terms of seeing the goodness of people. And if that's not being respected in some way, we have to respond to it.
But, isn't it really respect?
It is.
I mean, when you said that, I thought, okay, that is the word that we've lost a measure of respect for each other.
That's so true, MJ. And if people treated each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, if they saw the presence of Christ in the other and treated them in that regard, we wouldn't be having these issues. But part of the challenge, and we dealt with this too regarding the safety of children, that hasn't always been the case. And we've responded certainly in that way in terms of additional policies and training and done so much as a church to try to move forward. I think this is an area too that we've given attention and continues to deserve more attention.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. What kind of training do you provide to new employees when they come through the door?
Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful program called Safe and Sacred that was developed by the Archdiocese of Omaha. It's used by many dioceses across the country. It is a program that we've trained over 40,000 people in.
Oh, my.
Which is amazing.
Wow.
And, you know, I mentioned our 6,000 employees, the real workforce of the church, though, are the volunteers.
Oh,
we have
sure.
tens of thousands of volunteers. And we require that every person who has contact with children, which is the vast majority of our volunteers, mm-hmm. go through this training, as well as every new employee. So before their first day of work, they have this training. And it not only deals with child sexual abuse, but other forms of harm, physical abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, all those different areas, and trains people not only on what are the signs of abuse, but what are some of the boundaries to respect. And as we talk, that word boundaries will come up a lot, because we believe if people have healthy boundaries in one area of their lives, they're likely to have it in other areas too. So it gives people training in those areas so they understand emotional boundaries, physical boundaries, how do they show respect in different ways in their relationships with children? And also, if something's wrong, how do they report it? How do they go about making that concern known? And to do that in a way that's confidential, but gets the right information out to the right people.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today is Ed Isaacson, and he is the Human Resources Director for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
If it wasn't for you all, I don't know what I would do.
Catholic Radio Indy.
What an absolute blessing you are.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Ed Isaacson. He is the Human Resource Director for the Indianapolis Archdiocese, and we're chatting today about a difficult subject, but I think one that's so necessary. I think that, listening to you, Ed, and you talking about it, I think the more we talk about it and understand boundaries and what expectations are, there is a certain comfort and security in knowing that there is a line, you can draw a line, and it's this far and no further. And the expectation is the same on both sides. I expect that you will not cross that boundary, and I expect
yes.
that I will be respected. There's a certain confidence or security in that.
Exactly. You've described it well, MJ. And there's a reciprocity that it's mutual. People should be able to expect in their relationships with clergy, with employees of the church, with volunteers, that there will be certain boundaries that will protect them and respect them. And we should have the right to respect that of each other, to expect that among coworkers, among people working together in ministry. For us to do what we need to do as a church, we need to be respectful of each other.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded of this priest many years ago who just had this rule. He would, he'd shake your hand.
Yes.
But he didn't hug. He just never did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after it took two or three times to kind of to remember that. But it was just what he had to do. I mean, he just kind of drew a line, and that's what he did. And when you even had his picture, when your picture was taken with him, it was not just him and one other person. There were always two or three people. There was always someone else. And it was just what he finally, from the pulpit, he addressed it. It's someone that we all know, actually. He's still very alive and well. In the archdiocese, and he said many, many years ago, a long, long time ago, when he was a new priest, he was actually falsely accused of something that he thought, he was so surprised that the accusation came forward that he said, I quickly made a change in the way I operated and the way I expected the boundaries that I had to be respected and what I would do. And he said, and it was an immediate correction in my life. And he said, it's what I had to do.
You have to respect that. Exactly. And it's not only avoiding impropriety, but even the appearance of impropriety.
Yes.
So having another person present, having meetings in a room where there's a window where people can see you, thinking through what some of those boundaries are, so it reduces the risk that's one person's word against another.
Right. You know, I wonder, I know listeners are tuning into this conversation and thinking this is needed. We do need to talk about it. It's kind of a difficult conversation to have, but I think it's a conversation that we must start having. You know, obviously with 6,000 plus employees that you are responsible for, if you will, there have to be concerns that come forward from time to time. And how are they addressed? Because you have to kind of protect the safety of the person coming forward.
We do.
And also the person on the other side whose concerns, you know, this might involve. So you've actually got two people or maybe more to protect the respect of both. So how do you handle it?
You've described it well, MJ, and I like to address it in two ways. The first is the reporting of the concern, and the second is the investigation. And there are a couple different ways people can report concerns. They can certainly contact us directly in Human Resources, and we welcome that. We would meet with people at a time and place of their convenience. We also have a system called Ethics Point, whereby people can use an online reporting system. They can do this 24/7. It's always available. They don't have to give their name. And they can not only report actual situations of harm, but also situations where there aren't appropriate boundaries and there aren't appropriate controls. Mm-hmm. So, for example, from a financial standpoint, it could be actual theft of money, or it could be a lack of good checks and balances with the bookkeeping. When it comes to relationships with people, it could be actual abuse or harm, or it could be a lack of appropriate boundaries, a lack of following our code of conduct. And what we found is most of our reports actually are about boundary violations instead of actual harm being done to someone, which is very gratifying. I've been in this business now for 25 years with the Archdiocese, and we've moved upstream a bit. So before this harm done, we're finding out about the boundary violations, the code of conduct issues. Whenever those are reported, there is an investigation. And if we believe there is some violation of the law, we involve civil authorities and we cooperate fully with their investigation. And they're about that whole process of whether charges are brought, because sometimes there is actual assault or actual harm done to someone. And we work cooperatively with them through that process. We also do an internal investigation as to whether our policies are being followed. Did people follow our code of conduct? Did they follow our harassment policy? And if they didn't, there's a range of actions we can take depending upon the severity of what occurred, up to and including the end of someone's employment.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you handle the timeliness issue? It seems like, if an incident occurs yesterday, do you have to report it today, or last week? Do you have to report it by the end of the month? And the reason I'm asking that question is in the political scene, we're having people come and say, 30 or 40 years ago this happened, and therefore you've got to do something about it immediately. That's in the political arena in the news today. How do you handle timeliness?
Mm-hmm. With regard to our reporting and our investigations, there's really no statute of limitations per se. And we've had people come forward with allegations that go back many decades. And we think that's valuable for a couple reasons. First of all, from a pastoral point of view, for that person to voice her concerns or his concerns and be able to feel heard, to hear that we apologize and that we're sorry, to offer counseling to people who may need it because they've carried this for years, we think that's tremendously important to do as a church. And then also sometimes people decades later may still be involved in ministry in some ways. They may be volunteering, they may be working in a parish or school. So if these issues occurred many years ago, we want to be able to look into it.
You know, Ed, I think you bring up a valuable point, and that is that people do need to be heard. And sometimes it's as simple as that. Their voice needs to be recognized and respected. And And for years and years and years, I think we're not only talking about Hollywood and politics, but it's been a pat on the head, and he didn't mean that. She didn't mean that. He meant well. I mean, we've all heard those things, right? You know, I was reading an article not too long ago, I thought in the 70s there was a term, 60s or 70s, called sensitivity training, yes. You know, and everyone kind of went through it. I remember it being poo-pooed by the conservatives, and the liberals were kind of promoting this sensitivity training. But the more I read about it, I thought, that sounds like a cool thing. I mean, it sounds like, and it almost sounds like this is what we need now, just kind of to be made aware that maybe something that you had done without thinking, and I think a lot is intent, okay?
Yes.
But with intent, I mean, even though you might not have intended harm, you know, patting someone or touching someone or saying something or telling a joke that was off color, maybe you didn't intend harm, but maybe that's not how it was heard or felt or received.
It's an excellent point, MJ, because I know in working through investigations, and we always do that as part of a team, if there's an allegation against a priest, our vicar for clergy is involved. If it involves our schools, our superintendent and her staff are involved. And as we talk to the different parties and hear the accounts of people who may be accused of things, often they describe no ill intent. But the key is the perception.
Sure.
How were their actions or their words perceived by the other party? And that's important for them to realize, as you mentioned, because they may not be sensitive. They may not be fully aware of how they're coming across. They may not fully know this person's background and what that person has been through in his or her life, which makes them very aware and very sensitive to certain types of behavior.
You know, I wonder if this is, and I'm not asking you in this in an official capacity, really, but it almost feels to me like a cultural epidemic. You know, it's something that we have put up with for many, many years, and something that needs to be righted. But I think that this is systemic, really, in our culture. And I wonder what your take is on that, Ed.
I think it's systemic in our culture. I think it's present in other cultures. It's certainly not new. I think we're more aware of it now, and people more likely to come forward. One of the things that we are doing that I think ties into this well, MJ, is a program we have for children called Circle of Grace. And we have 37,000 children in our schools and in our parish religious education programs, which is amazing, 37,000. And this begins in kindergarten and goes through 12th grade.
Oh, my goodness.
So it really is about teaching them from a very young age about appropriate boundaries and how to start changing what you described, that this is part of our culture. It doesn't need to be, and how do we move beyond that? And this training is part.
And so this is, are you talking about Catholic school, like kindergarten, first grade, all the way up?
Exactly, kindergarten through 12th grade.
Okay, so is this kind of like the way, I remember my kids were going through the good touch, bad touch, and things, just to kind of empower kids that they have a say. I mean, they can say no, they can draw the line. Is that what you're talking about?
Very much, and it works with them at whatever age they're at in terms of what are appropriate boundaries. It's called Circle of Grace. And when my youngest daughter was in kindergarten, I drove home and saw her spinning around with her arm extended at arm's length, with her finger pointed.
Oh, I like that.
Gracie, what are you doing? And she said, that's my circle of grace. God's love surrounds me. God's love is all around me. And only people I trust can come inside that circle. And I thought, what a powerful lesson to learn
okay.
in kindergarten.
All right.
And we build on that as children get older about appropriate relationships online. Appropriate dating relationships. So how do we start changing the culture through education?
You know, I do love that. I do love it. And I do appreciate that because my kids went through Catholic schools also. But I didn't notice it with my 35-year-old son. But with my daughter, who's going to be 20, well, she just turned 23, she started being a little bit more self-aware.
Yes.
And telling when an aunt or an uncle or someone would pinch her, she would pull back and say no. Now, my older kids, if you would pinch them or grab them or it, that, you know, whether they liked it or not, it didn't really matter, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and aunts and uncles would still grab them and pinch them and their cheeks and everything. But not so with my youngest daughter. And she said that she felt it was almost as if she was given permission and the older kids didn't know the words to say or hadn't been given permission. And how powerful it feels when you know that you have permission to say, no, no means no, or I don't like that, or the I love the circle of grace. I love that.
It's a powerful image. And I think that gives me great hope as we think about the future, that we truly can empower young people, starting in kindergarten, to know what appropriate boundaries are and to voice those concerns.
You know, we only have a couple minutes left, but you know, we just started talking about it. Ed Isaacson, our guest today on Faith in Action, he's the Human Resource Director for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And I wonder what gives you hope for the future with respect to the promotion of human dignity? Because to me, that's what separates us as Catholics and Christians, is we all need and desire respect.
Yes.
And we all require, I mean, we're all looking for, we are endowed with the dignity, the human dignity from birth, but not necessarily always given it. So what hope do you have? I mean, guide us a little bit, Ed.
I have great hope, MJ, as we look toward the future. We've had 40,000 adults go through our Safe and Sacred program. We have 37,000 children going through the Circle of Grace program every year. And this information allows them to have a greater sense of their own personal dignity. And we're certainly against abuse and forms of harm. But even more so, we want to give the message of what we're for. And we're for promoting human dignity in all of its forms.
You know, I think it's important to end on a positive note. Because, of course, we all know what feels wrong and what doesn't feel right. But we need to know, end positively, and say what the whole point, I think, is dignity.
Yes.
Affording each other the dignity that they require and that they were born, that you're entitled to, no matter what. No matter how old you are, no matter the sex, no matter what job you have, no matter if I'm your boss or your underling, but that you are simply entitled to.
We're entitled to it by the fact that we're created in the image and likeness of God.
Amen.
And that's how we should treat each other.
Amen.
And expect to be treated ourselves.
Our guest, Ed Isaacson, Human Resource Director for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, thank you so much for being our guest on Faith in Action.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.